Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is a continuation of For the Record program number 229, an analysis and update of Eurofascism. We were talking about rising pro-fascist sentiment in Latvia with the honoring of members of the Latvian Volunteer SS Legion, part of the Waffen-SS in World War II. More along the same lines in Latvia, this from the San Francisco Chronicle of Wednesday, April 26th of the year 2000. This also is Dateline Riga, Latvia, and this refers to the release of a convicted war criminal. This, however, is someone who fought against the fascists in World War II. This reads in part, Latvia's Supreme Court released convicted war criminal Vasily Kononov from custody yesterday and ordered an investigation of his controversial conviction, a move welcomed by Russia. Kononov, 77, was sentenced in January to 6 years in prison after being convicted of ordering the execution in 1944 of nine civilians, including a pregnant woman and several children, whom he suspected of pro-Nazi sympathies. At the time, Kononov led a small band of pro-Soviet partisans who fought the Nazis occupying Latvia. By the way, anti-fascists, including Kononov himself, claimed that these civilians had gotten caught in a crossfire. I don't know what the case, what the situation actually was, of course, not having been there. But it is noting, it is worth noting that Latvia convicted an anti-fascist partisan from World War II of being a war criminal and are honoring the Latvian Waffen-SS. In our analysis of Eurofascism, we've taken a look at Silvio Berlusconi, a member of the fascist P2 Lodge in Italy. His political fortunes have been on the increase as of late, and in For the Record program 217, we took a look at his endorsement of an anti-immigration bill and his echoing of sentiments that had been sounded by Jörg Haider and which have found a resonant chord in political electorates throughout Europe. Berlusconi's party has scored quite well in recent regional Italian elections. This from the Financial Times of London of Tuesday, April 18th of the year 2000. This is an article by James Blitz in Rome. It reads in part as follows. It's headlined, Italian Premier in Fight to Save Coalition Government. And it reads in part as follows. Massimo D'Alema, Italy's Prime Minister, was last night fighting to save his center-left coalition government after it suffered a heavy defeat in regional elections at the hands of Silvio Berlusconi, opposition leader. As final results were counted from Sunday's poll, seen as a critical test for both the government and opposition, Mr. D'Alema handed his resignation to Carlo Azeglio Ciampi, Italian president. Skipping down. Defeat in the regional election, in which 30 million Italians voted, was a blow to Mr. D'Alema's 18-month-old premiership. The poll was the clearest indication yet that Mr. Berlusconi, the media magnate who was prime minister in 1994, is well-placed to return to power at the next general election. And we have noted in the past, and including earlier in the program, this program, number 229, that Silvio Berlusconi, along with Gianfranco Fini's Alleanza Nazionale, was part of the first coalition government involving an open fascist party, an openly fascist party in Europe since World War II. That took place in 1994 when the Alleanza Nazionale was part of a coalition government with Silvio Berlusconi, who, as we have noted, was a member of the P2 Lodge. In program number 217, I incorrectly identified the miscellaneous archive show in which we covered Silvio Berlusconi, the P2 Lodge, and that coalition government as being part of Why Johnny Can't Identify Il Duce. In fact, it was part of the Seeds of Nuremberg miscellaneous archive show, and during the remainder of the program, we're going to listen to part of that archive show, this from June 26th of 1994. This is, once again, from that excerpt, a miscellaneous archive show, The Seeds of Nuremberg, and again recorded on June 26th of 1994. But in one of those articles entitled, Italy Moves Towards Fascism, subtitled, As Europe Prepares to Celebrate D-Day Anniversary, in a banner on the side is labeled Italian Elections. The first two paragraphs of this article read as follows. Oh, by the way, this is from the Searchlights issue number 227 from May of 1994, and research credit for this entire series of articles goes to a listener, a very diligent listener, and many, many thanks to that member of the listening audience. The first two paragraphs of the article entitled Italy Moved Towards As Europe Prepares to Celebrate D-Day Anniversary, Italy moves towards Fascism, we find the following. The far right has begun its battle for power in Italy.
In elections on the 27th and 28th of March, the ultra-rightist Freedom Alliance, with majorities in both houses of the Italian Parliament, the Chamber of Deputies, and the Senate. The victory of the ultra-right was greeted by a financial mini-boom in which the value of the lira soared momentarily, and in which the prices of shares in almost all of Italy's top industrial concerns rose in stock markets around the world. That little section of the right-wing investment advisory letter, strategic investment, looming large in the background of that particular aspect of events in Italy. In the aforementioned miscellaneous archive show entitled Uncle Sam at Il Duce, American Support for Mussolini and the Mythology of the Corporate State, we went into Mussolini's corporate state, the great favor with which that political concept was greeted among American industrial and financial circles, or in American industrial and financial circles. We also took a look at the profound support given to Mussolini, not only by key elements of those industrial and financial circles who helped to prop up the failing fascist economy of Italy, but also the very favorable coverage given to Italian fascism in the American media as well as elsewhere. And it would sound, on the basis of that piece of information, as though the repudiation of democratic process, which according to William Pfaff is being led by Italy, is being met with great favor in investment circles. One, I think, would not require a great deal of information in order to see that as representing confirmation of the continued support for the corporate state industrial and financial circles around the world. A small article from the San Francisco Chronicle about Operation Clean Hands is going to launch our discussion into a hard analysis of Italian political events. We're going to be coming back to the Searchlight articles in a big way in just a minute. The following is from the San Francisco Chronicle of Friday, May 13th of 1994. In the World Report section of the Chronicle, we find the following article. This is from Europe. It's Dateline Milan and headline, Former Premier Charged in Italian Bank Scandal. It reads, No longer protected by parliamentary immunity, Bettino Craxi, C-R-A-X-I, one of Italy's most powerful politicians, was ordered yesterday to turn over his passport and stand trial next month. The former socialist premier was indicted in connection with Italy's biggest post-war banking scandal, the 1982 collapse of Banco Ambrosiano, said reports yesterday by the Italian news agency AGI and RAI State TV. Also indicted by Judge Maurizio Grigo was former Justice Minister Claudio Martelli and Licio Gelli, who once headed the shadowy P2 secret lodge that was investigated in the 1980s for suspected subversion, the reports said. Well, the collapse of the Banco Ambrosiano, in which, in connection with which Bettino Craxi and Licio Gelli have been indicted, is something that is a major focal point of the aforementioned Radio Free America program number 18, the first of two Radio Free America shows dealing explicitly and entirely with the P2 Lodge, both in Italy and elsewhere. Bettino Craxi is a name that is not only inextricably linked with the P2 political milieu in Italy, it is specifically one of the main political names that is connected to the political career of Silvio Berlusconi, the former P2 member and the head of the right-wing fascist coalition currently administering Italian politics. We're going to take a look at Berlusconi's government, his connections with the P2, the historical evolution of not only the Berlusconi-Craxi Association, but also the Berlusconi and Licio Gelli Association. We're going to see not only how the P2 milieu was instrumental in the rise of Silvio Berlusconi as a media magnate, we're going to take a look at how that success was a critical element, the media component, so to speak, of a political strategy formulated and enunciated by Licio Gelli in 1976 called the peaceful rebirth, a peaceful return of fascism to Italy. Research credit on all of the information that I'm going to be presenting for the section of the broadcast dealing with Berlusconi and the P2 Research credit on all of these articles goes to a listener, and this information comes from a very important British anti-fascist publication that I alluded to just a minute ago and read a short section of. The publication is called The Searchlight, subtitled The International Anti-Fascist Monthly, not to be confused with the American publication Spotlight, which is of an opposite ideological stripe. This is from the Searchlight magazine of May of 1994, which had a six-page section devoted to the Italian elections and the re-emergence of Italian fascism in a formal above-ground sense. By the way, the Searchlight can be contacted for subscriptions at the following. Their address, Searchlight Magazine Limited, at 37B, as in Baker, New Cavendish Street, Cavendish, London, W1M8JasonR. W William 1 Mary 8 J as in Jason, R as in Roger. W1M8JR. And the phone 071-271-284-4040. For sales and circulation inquiries, 071-284-4040. 071-284-4040. For a fax, 071-284-4410. 071-284-4410. The address, one more time, Searchlight Magazine Limited, 37B, as in Baker, New Cavendish Street, London, W1M8JR, 071-284-4040. Also, there's another number under here. I don't know what this indicates. ISSN 0262-4591. ISSN 0262-4591. All of these articles, again, from the Searchlight magazine, May of 1994. And we're going to begin by taking a look at a sidebar in this particular series of articles about the Berlusconi connections with P2 and his role in the peaceful rebirth or the democratic rebirth. It actually is called both the peaceful and the plan for a democratic rebirth. In fact, the democratic rebirth of fascism here is a misnomer if ever there was one. They use democratic means, but it's anything but a democratic rebirth. In a sidebar, there is a synoptic account of what the P2 Lodge is, and for the benefit primarily of newer listeners who are not familiar with the P2 Lodge, I'm going to kick off this discussion of Berlusconi, the P2, and the democratic rebirth of fascism with this particular sidebar. It's called The Perversive Conspiracy of Geli and P2. By the way, Geli, L-I-C-I-O, is Licio, and Geli, G-E-L-L-I. P2 was a secret fascist Masonic lodge whose existence was first revealed after raids on the villa of Licio Geli in 1981. The first disclosures, which proved that more than 1,000 political, military, police, intelligence, media, financial, and criminal personalities were members, caused the fall of the Italian government of the day. P2 was shown to have been central to numerous political, financial, and criminal scandals, including at least one serious conspiracy to overthrow the elected government after destabilizing it through murderous terrorist actions carried out with the assistance of organized crime. By the way, one of those coup attempts was the 1970 coup led by Mussolini fascist Prince Giusto Valerio Borghese, P2 member and organized crime functionary Michele Sindona, a Vatican financial advisor, was the conduit of money that was channeled from the Central Intelligence Agency to the Giusto Valerio Borghese coup attempt and the related strategy of tension. That was the program of right-wing terror meant to be blamed on the left in order to destabilize the government and prepare the way for the Borghese coup attempt. Again, that coup attempt, as well as the strategy of tension, was financed in part and supported by the CIA, and Michele Sindona was the conduit for the CIA money. Weapons not only for the Borghese coup attempt, but for a later coup group, the Rose de Venti, or Rose of the Winds coup group, also involving Michele Sindona, among others. The supplier of weapons for the Borghese coup attempt was none other than former SS colonel and Nazi commando extraordinaire Otto Skorzeny, a post-World War II Reinhard Gehlen operative working both for CIA and BND, while at the same time serving as the linchpin of the ODESA, the post-World War II SS underground fraternal organization and political machine. And so the Borghese coup attempt and the strategy of tension hatched or conceptualized by Stefano Della Chiaia, the Italian fascist, in many ways served to illustrate and embody the political alliances which the P2 was able to realize, alliances which went far beyond Italy and alliances which are very, very significant for us here in the United States. Continuing with this sidebar, P2 was at the center of the collapse of the Banco Ambrosiano, a bank with extensive links to both the Vatican and the Mafia in the summer of 1982. This bank funneled millions of dollars to extreme right-wing governments and parties, especially in Latin America. Roberto Calvi, by the way, another Vatican financial advisor and also a P2 member, Roberto Calvi fled to London and was found hanged there in June of 1982. Licio Gelli, P2's Grand Master, who had close ties to NATO's Gladio network and the Mafia, escaped from the Swiss prison cell in 1983 and fled to Uruguay. In December of 1985, he was charged with 14 others for involvement in the Bologna fascist bomb massacre in which 85 people were killed. He was sentenced to 10 years jail. Gelli, 75, was the author of a long-term plan for taking power. A close associate in P2 was Silvio Berlusconi. Gelli later returned to Italy. In spring of 1994, the legal authorities demanded that his acquittal on appeal in the Bologna case be reversed and that he should serve his 10-year sentence. P2 has been illegal since an Italian court found it to be, quote, subversive, unquote. Note, among other references here, the reference to the Gladio project. That was the Italian element of Operation Stay Behind, a NATO contingency plan to set up guerrilla groups in various member countries in the event of a successful Soviet invasion of Western Europe, itself an altogether a mythological political concept. The Gladio operation was actually the spiritual brainchild, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, of General Reinhard Gehlen, the aforementioned Nazi and CIA and contemporary or post-World War II German spy chief. And indeed, the P2 Lodge was one of many instances in which the Operation Stay Behind and Operation Gladio, it was one of the many fascist elements that were incorporated into Operation Stay Behind. The strategy of tension was but one manifestation of Stay Behind slash Gladio as a cover for not only the incorporation of explicitly fascist elements into the national security and political establishments of member Stay Behind slash Gladio nations, it also provided the basis for a program of right-wing terror. Evidentiary tributaries of Gladio run all the way back to such individuals as Horst Wieland, the individual accredited with training Bernd Schmidt, the German Verfassungsschutz agent who was apparently the trainer and ideological mentor of five so-called skinheads who committed the firebombing at Solingen in Germany, in which a Turkish family of five was incinerated. The P2 Lodge itself, and again an institution with many connections in Latin America as well as the United States, is the institution which has dominated Italian political life long after its formal dissolution in 1981. And understanding the P2 Lodge and understanding its operations and its connections is vital for an understanding of the Silvio Berlusconi Coalition, because indeed the Silvio Berlusconi Coalition represents the successful maturation of a political strategy that was hatched by Licio Gelli and implemented by Gelli and his milieu. The following article is once again from the Searchlight of May of 1994. It's entitled The Rise of Berlusconi. It reads in part, these are the details on Silvio Berlusconi. Berlusconi, Silvio, Milan, industrialist, membership card 1816, code E as in Eric, 1978, dated 26178. That's January 26, 1978, group 17, file 0625, fees 100,000 lira. This is Licio Gelli's Silvio Berlusconi's P2 membership card. We should note, as we noted in our program about the P2 Lodge, our programs about the P2 Lodge, that one of the prerequisites for membership in the P2 Lodge was the turning over to Licio Gelli and the Brotherhood of that lodge the documentation of a scandal or compromising documentation in order to gain membership in this particular highly exclusive and extremely influential Masonic lodge, again, a center of occult power in Italy. One had to turn over highly compromising material, absolute documentation, and highly compromising documentation to Licio Gelli. This put Licio Gelli in the position of not only controlling the members of his lodge, his nickname, by the way, in Italian political circles was the Puppet Master, it also put Licio Gelli in a position to, if necessary, scandalize any of these powerful figures. Indeed, as we have said before, the political scandals and the corruption that have been revealed through the Operations Clean Hands investigation, and which, at least in strategic investment and I suspect elsewhere, are being credited with discrediting Italian politics and Italian politicians, the results being the dissolution of the Italian political center and the rise of the Italian right. The P2 Lodge is front and center and absolutely vital. In the presence of the P2 Lodge is vital to understand in analyzing the Berlusconi coalition. Searchlight goes on to comment as follows, or to write as follows. These are the details on Silvio Berlusconi that were found in the files of Licio Gelli, the fascist grand puppet master, quote-unquote, when police raided Gelli's villa in March of 1981 and opened the continuing scandal of the secret Propaganda Due, or P2, Masonic Lodge. Now, Berlusconi, the former P2 member who thinks his destiny is to save Italy from communism, will be Prime Minister of Italy. But who is Berlusconi? Is he an independent force, or is there more to the man known as, quote, the Cavalier, unquote, or, quote, the Knight, unquote? Skipping down. During this period, by the way, what we're going to talk about next is the strong and very important connections between Silvio Berlusconi and the aforementioned Italian Prime Minister Bettino Craxi, now being indicted along with Licio Gelli in connection with the collapse of the Banco Ambrosiano. We're going to take a look now at the very important political alliance that developed between Silvio Berlusconi of the P2 and Bettino Craxi. The Searchlight writes, during this period, the early 1970s, Milan was the personal fiefdom of one man, Bettino Craxi of the Partito Socialista Italiano, or PSI. The ambitious Berlusconi was quickly admitted to Craxi's inner circle, a relationship that grew over the years while at the same time he kept the doors open to the conservative Christian Democrats just in case. Soon, Berlusconi was to make another very important contact, Licio Gelli, a former Mussolini blackshirt and Waffen SS man and a fascist conspirator extraordinary. Gelli was impressed by Berlusconi's ruthlessness and invited him into P2's and into Gelli's personal Masonic lodge, the now illegal P2, which he joined on January 26, 1978. Soon after being admitted to this nest of fascists, whose membership reached into the heart of Italy's financial, industrial, media, military, secret service, police, and criminal establishments, Berlusconi was put into P2's Group 17. Group 17 was the communications, information, and media sector that had responsibility for, quote, subversive destabilization, unquote. This was part of Gelli's, quote, plan for a democratic rebirth, unquote, his 1976 blueprint for a peaceful fascist takeover of Italy. Last couple of sentences, again, because they're critical. Berlusconi was put into P2's Group 17. Group 17 was the communications, information, and media sector that had responsibility for, quote, subversive destabilization, unquote. This was part of Gelli's, quote, plan for a democratic rebirth, unquote, his 1976 blueprint for a peaceful fascist takeover of Italy. At that time, there was no government regulation of communications. With the help of the Monte dei Paschi Bank, a P2 front, Berlusconi set himself up in television. By the way, the spelling of that bank, the Monte dei Paschi Bank, Monte dei Paschi Bank. That's a P2 front. One more time. At the time, this is 1976, there was no government regulation of communications. With the help of the Monte dei Paschi Bank, or Paschi Bank, a P2 front, Berlusconi set himself up in television. He became the operative arm of the Jaillet plan, in which his effective function was to be the coordinator of an, quote, agency to link the local press and television in a national chain that can affect public opinion on the daily running of the country, unquote. That was Silvio Berlusconi's function. And we should note that Silvio Berlusconi swept to power after only 4 months in political life. Skipping down in this column, on December 19, 1993, Jaillet, who still faces 10 years in prison for his part in the 1980 Bologna fascist terror attack in which 85 people died, gave an interview in L'Unità in which he let the cat out of the bag about Berlusconi's role, praising him as, quote, one of the few real men that we have left in Italy, unquote. Asked, quote, would you agree that all you wrote in 1976 is going exactly to schedule, unquote? Jaillet replied, quote, yes, everything is right on schedule. There are events happening which no one could have foreseen. So why is it upsetting that here we have foreseen how things would go? My plan predicted the scandals and destruction of the parties and trade unions, unquote. Well, those scandals, investigated in the aforementioned Operation Clean Hands and the destruction of the parties and trade unions, revolve around Licio Jaillet and P2. They are inextricably connected to the political milieu of Licio Jaillet and P2 and Berlusconi and Craxi. And beyond that, the blackmail that Licio Jaillet was able to obtain on the members of his lodge undoubtedly served on the one hand to keep the members in obedience to Jelly's political will. They also, if necessary, served to precipitate scandals which would both destroy errant or deviant members as well as discredit the Italian political process and Italian politicians, paving the way, again, for the destruction of the political center, the death of politics, as Strategic Investment put it, and the rise of the fascism that Licio Jaillet so admired and helped to engineer.
That, again, an excerpt from the miscellaneous archive show, The Seeds of Nuremberg. That episode recorded on June 26th of 1994. And, again, note the role of the P2 and of corruption with the discrediting of Italian politics, the role that had in the rise of Silvio Berlusconi to being prime minister the first time around. Note that he's the odds-on favorite, or not the odds-on favorite, but viewed as very likely to resume that position in the next general election in Italy. And the role of anti-immigration sentiment and corruption, something that's echoed throughout Europe and is being held responsible or viewed as responsible for the rise of fascism throughout Europe. I've alluded to various tapes, including the one that I've just excerpted, the miscellaneous archive show, The Seeds of Nuremberg. They're all available from Spitfire. That's a tape duplication service, which is located at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is spitfire@ix.netcom.com. There's a list of and description of the various tapes available from Spitfire on the Real Audio Equipped Spitfire website at spitfirelist.com, and a matching list on the KFJC website. Look at kfjc.org in the Transmissions and Public Affairs section. That concludes this broadcast. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.